Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And today on the show, we're traveling back to the Roaring Twenties, when baseball was king and Dave Bancroft was Superior, Wisconsin's shortstop hero. Looking forward to talking with our guest who authored a book about Dave Bancroft. And we'll be doing that in just a minute or two. But first, baseball legendary fan Jill Nadeau is joining me here in the studio because we're in our spring member drive. And your support, it's an essential piece of the funding for our shows, the ones you enjoy. And it's your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jill, it's a great time to be giving.
It is, because it's our last day of our Public Media Giving Days Challenge. That's kind of a mouthful. This nationwide movement is an opportunity to recognize the importance of independent public media. I didn't get any gifts, did you, Larry?
No.
No, darn it. So to celebrate, all donations up to $60,000 will be matched by a group of very generous members.
It's their way of encouraging you to join the Public Media Giving Days movement by supporting the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and your gift right now, it's vital. It ensures that WPR's essential services remain strong. And it all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know what? You are powerful because people who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for our programs. And your donation, it's an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
It does. And you know, your contribution, well, it keeps independent public service radio on the air. It's for you and for the entire community. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, well, maybe $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. It starts with your donation, WPR.org and 888-202-2552.
You are the public in public media, and you play a critical role in making sure it's available to all free of charge. We can't do it without you, so please donate today and thank you.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible, and your gift could be 10, could be 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And it's really easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And don't forget, our Public Media Giving Days Challenge is still in effect. So celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And you might want to ask for your WPR glass tumbler when you make a gift of $12 a month or more to support our programs. It's an elegant glass, and it will remind you how much you value WPR every time you use it. So you ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you very much. Maybe today's the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched.
And, oh, gosh, Lamar and Delavan.
Yeah, I just saw that, Larry. Lamar says, we are huge fans of so many of your programs, particularly Larry Mueller, and to the best of our knowledge. Well, thank you, Lamar.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. What about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you very much. Well, we're going to turn our attention to Tom Alicia now. He is the author of the book Beauty at Short. Dave Bancroft, the most unlikely Hall of Famer, and his wild times in baseball's first century. I tell you what, it's a fascinating book. Tom's a longtime arts and entertainment writer for Madison Papers. He won the National Music Journalism Award for his two-part story on a Stoughton pop band that became a one-hit wonder in the early 60s. But he's written this book about Dave Bancroft, and it's fascinating. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Maybe if you're from Superior, you will know about Dave Bancroft. I didn't know a whole lot about Dave Bancroft. Tom Alicia, welcome, by the way. Thanks for joining us today on the show.
Thank you.
And you didn't know a lot about him either at the beginning.
I didn't know his name. I didn't know who he was. And the only way that this journey began was because my family was vacationing in Brule, so we're way up there in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We decide to go into Superior. We take a look at what there is we might want to see in Superior. And one thing caught our eye, and that was there is a baseball Hall of Famer, Dave Bancroft, who was buried here. None of us knew his name. None of us knew him. We go to the cemetery. The cemetery, it was fortunately a worker was there. Otherwise, there's not no way we would have found it. His gravestone was in the ground. All it says is his name, birth date, date of death, and husband. Next to him, his wife's name,
and,
birth date, and death date, and then wife. And that's it. That was 11 years ago. And that began a search of who was this guy and how did he make the Hall of Fame and what's he doing here in Superior, Wisconsin?
It's a great story. And you call him the most unlikely Hall of Famer.
There were many times, especially early in his career, where he could have been one of several thousand minor league players who never made it. And at one point in his minor league career, he spent 3 years with a team in Superior. The lowest level of minor leagues at that time, there were almost 300 minor league teams. There were barely any Major League, National League, American League teams at that time. He then spent 3 years in Portland before he got his chance with the Philadelphia Phillies in 1915.
Well, he almost quit once. I mean, he was a really good fielder.
He was on his way to the train station and was stopped by a veteran player, Bill Rogers. His nickname was Raw Meat. And Raw Meat stopped him. He said, "Where are you going?" And Dave Bancroft said, "I can't hit. There's no point."
Yeah.
And Raw Meat, fortunately, spun him around and said, "Come on back," you know. And one of the things that he did do then, and not just help him out, was that among Bill Rogers and one other player on the team, had him become a turnaround batter. At that time, that's what a switch hitter was
called. Switch hitter, yeah.
Yeah, and that helped. From the very beginning of his career, even as a young kid, there was never any question about his talent as a fielding shortstop.
He was
a spectacular
great
fielder. And he still holds a record for chances in a season. It's one of the longest running
over 900
single season.
I think it's over 900
just
chances.
Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. And he, with that, he had the opportunity then to, step away a number of times, and it wouldn't have been a surprise, but he did keep going, and that relentlessness paid off in the end.
It sure did. What did he do? Just thinking about it, I think 8 years in a row he raised his batting average every year.
Yeah, eventually then his hitting really came around. And remember, keep in mind, when he was playing in the minor leagues, that's the dead ball era. And the dead ball era is a perfect name for what that was. Lower batting averages, far fewer home runs. The ball was often scuffed to the pitcher's advantage. Spitballs were legal at that time, as they were for a short time. Then suddenly in the 1920s, you're getting a harder baseball. You're getting an easier baseball to hit, and Dave Bancroft took full advantage of that then throughout the 1920s.
You know, it's kind of fun. One of the enjoys of it for me, of reading your book, not only learning about Dave, but learning about, or sort of relearning sometimes, what baseball was like back in those days in terms of the rules of the game. And how I remember you writing about the fact that catchers were often umpires, turned into umpires, because there weren't enough professional...
And the abuse towards umpires was amazing. And that's why you had very few umpires. You also did not have four umpires out there, so they were trying to make a lot of calls. And calls that went against players, they did not hesitate to argue back. Dave, in my estimation, was thrown out of about 50 games over a long career of playing and managing.
And he was considered a mild man.
And he was considered a mild player. So he was, you know, there's a villain in every story. And to just kind of show how baseball was played in the 1920s, the villain in Dave Bancroft's story is a catcher named Earl Smith.
Yeah.
He played for largely for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Earl, while he was catching while a player was batting, he would spit tobacco on their shins, or he would talk to them while they're out there, and you know, it was nasty. Yeah, they could be brutal at that time.
Yeah, and he took a big swat at punch.
He does. That's one of the lowest points of Dave's career. He was a player manager after he had played for the New York Giants and was wildly successful there. Then he was a player manager for the Boston Braves, and he had fined Earl Smith, who was his catcher, $500 at one time, which is a lot of money. And Earl didn't forget it. And Earl then, after Dave scored for the other team, you know, this is a couple of years after their conflict together, belted him as he came across home plate.
Knocked him out.
Literally knocked him out using his catcher's mitt. Dave was unconscious for a few minutes.
An amazing story. But some of the other things that I'm reminded of in reading your book, a home run, a ball could bounce over the fence, and it was called a home run.
Yeah, Dave did not hit a lot of long balls. but then you notice his most homers in a season was 7, and that did come during the dead ball era. And in all likelihood, that was because it would be inside the park home runs. And yes, it bounced over. In another case, a ball went under the outfield fence. And the umpire, once again, you're talking about often two umpires. If one's out of position and certainly not in the view of being able to see it, it goes under the fence, home run, and you can keep running.
Oh, man. Fun having some fun talking today with our guest Tom Alicia about his book, Beauty at Short, Dave Bancroft, the most unlikely Hall of Famer in his wild times in baseball's first century. I hope you'll join in with your questions as we move along. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Here we are in our spring member drive. And Jill Nadeau has snuck back in and wants to talk to you, too. and that's good. I always like seeing her. And you might, too, if you get to meet her in person. As a listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. And that's thanks to your support. You, as listeners, provide the largest source of our funding. And when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Larry, I don't sneak.
I make just an comes entrance. Barging right
That's
in.
That's right. I make an entrance. So make your entrance right now by giving to Public Media Giving Days, and your support will go twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a very generous group of current members.
And we only have about $4,700 left. I think we should try and get this done during our show.
Oh, I don't know. Think we can, Larry?
I think we can with some help from you as you, if you haven't given yet, your support of the programs, you know, they benefit you, they benefit the entire community, and it's a chance for you to double. We've only got $4,700 left,
right.
So it's your chance to double your gift. Any amount now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And that's amazing considering yesterday at this time we had like $40,000 left. So that is amazing. So you might be asking yourself, why should you give at this moment? Well, because you are listening right now and you're thinking about it right now.
And you'll feel good when you do it. WPR is an important public service and you'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, news, and talk.
Yeah, and we use your donation wisely, putting it into the programs that you hear every day. So support Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, we need to depend on you. We hope we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in, day out, year in, year out. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time if you want to. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Introducing the newest addition to your drinkware collection, the WPR Glass Tumbler. Show off your support for WPR while enjoying your favorite beverage from this high-quality 11-ounce glass. Whether it's your morning iced coffee or a relaxing nightcap, add some elegance to the experience when you ask for your WPR Glass Tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
It does. And the Public Media Giving Days Challenge is still on, and we still have about $4,700 left there for you to take advantage of. And make your gift now, and it will be matched by a very generous group of donors.
And it will really, really help. And you can donate any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you are part of this exciting challenge with only 47. Actually, it's a little less than that.
A little less than that, yeah. But we won't deal with those tiny numbers till we get down to the end, Larry. You know, today, when you support the WPR programs that you love, you give the amount that's comfortable for you. And many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
But whatever you give, it's going to support the programs that enhance your life, that give you information and entertainment every day. So give now whatever amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you're celebrating independent public media when you give right now because it's Public Media Giving Days at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And you'll get that new tumbler.
That's
too,
right.
That glass tumbler from WPR. And I looked at it. I finally looked at it.
Oh, did you finally?
Yeah, I haven't had one in my hand. I'll be getting one, by the way, because
okay.
I have gone over the $12 a month
Many times.
But I tell you what, you can ask for years when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Anthony in Muskego had a nice comment.
He did. Larry's guests are the best, and the conversation is fun and informative, and we're experiencing that right now. And he says, thank you for decades of great radio.
Your gift right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with Tom Alicia today. He wrote the book Beauty at Short, Dave Bancroft, the Most Unlikely Hall of Famer, and His Wild Times in Baseball's First Century. Questions or comments? Maybe, you know, I'm surprised we haven't had a caller from Superior yet who knows a little bit about Dave Bancroft. But what about you? Questions about baseball or about Dave Bancroft? I hope you'll join in. Maybe an experience to share. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Join in. So Dave Bancroft wound up after, I think it was 6 years of semi-pro, or at least in the minors, went to Philadelphia.
Yes. He was selected by Philadelphia. They just signed him. Now, at that time, he was in the Pacific Coast League, and there was not a team west of the Mississippi, a professional team. Cardinals, that's it.
Yeah.
St. Louis Cardinals. So the Pacific Coast League was very good. And his 3 years there were bumpy. His first year wasn't very good. His second year, he was demoted to a lower-level team. And then the third year was with the Portland Beavers of the Pacific Coast League. A scout sees him. He goes there, and he is told from the Philadelphia Phillies to sign someone else. But at that same time, there's another major league trying to rise, trying to compete against the National League, and that is called the Federal League. The person who was most likely to be signed by the Philadelphia Phillies, they were afraid that he would go to the Federal League and they would be stuck. The scout goes out there and he decides, I'm going to go with this Dave Bancroft. Dave Bancroft arrives at the spring training for the Philadelphia Phillies, and the first thing the manager says is, he looks like a jockey more than a baseball player.
Yeah,
he
small
was five
guy.
Foot, 5 foot nine, lean, young looking. You know, he's only at that time about 23, 24 years old. And he had a spectacular first season, absolutely spectacular. Philadelphia went to the World Series against the Boston Red Sox, who had a young pitcher, rookie pitcher named Babe Ruth. That was Babe Ruth's first season. And for who eventually became a very good friend of Dave Bancroft's. They did vacation together and were friends throughout both of their careers.
And Edna, Dave Bancroft's wife, became quite good friends of Babe Ruth's wife.
Yes.
You got there some great pictures in your book.
It is called the... In baseball, among baseball researchers, these would be the most provocative photos of Babe Ruth that were taken of him. And there are a lot of pictures of Babe Ruth. The picture of Babe Ruth was, and the reason behind that, the story, they were taken by Dave, and his wife is in them, and so is Dave's, Babe Ruth's wife. What it is they're in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They're on vacation. They've probably been drinking. We're going to guess that. Because they're in a studio then that has where you can put your face behind something. And in this case, we have Babe Ruth standing with his face through a ballerina's, a figurine of a picture of a ballerina.
And the women
are holding a teddy bear over Babe's crotch. So that is considered the most provocative photo of Babe Ruth, and sold for a considerable amount on an auction house about 7 years ago.
Yeah, I would imagine. And Edna, Dave's wife, you do talk about her in the book. I mean, she, at one point, I think you said that she attended every game he played for 15 straight years with, I think she missed one game.
You know, that's what's claimed. And I put the caveat in there with that is what the newspaper reported. I find that a little hard to believe because of the travel was much more difficult at that time. Regardless, Dave had no bigger fan than Enda. They met in 1909 when he arrived in Superior. She lived in Superior. Her family ran a shoe store there. They become a couple. They get married at a very young age. He was 19. She was 18. They stuck together then through the rest of their lives. And there is one of my favorite Edna stories, because Edna pops up as his best cheerleader, his biggest supporter throughout the worst injuries and the worst times of his career and the best. She's always there throughout that. But there was a paper that asked the wives of the players, you know, something about their husband. And one was, he likes onions with his steak. And another says something like, well, you know, he said if he hits 300, he's going to buy me a new car. Edna says, take a look at him at short. He's poetry at shortstop. And I thought, wow, that's great. You know, she knew the game. She definitely was. She was always sitting in a very good close-up seat.
And they had one child who died.
Yeah, and this is a tragedy for them, because in doing a deep dive of reading so much about one person, and that includes articles, magazines, was that they were great with children. And you can see that in photos. You can see that, or you can read about that in stories. They're described as childless, but that is not true. In 1920, he was still a Philadelphia Philly. Just before he was traded to the New York Giants, Edna did give birth to a daughter, Mary Jane. Dave is quoted in several newspapers as that she will become his biggest fan. He was very proud, and she did die after 16 days. There is nothing else written about it. She is buried outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and they never spoke of her.
They never said a word.
Publicly, at least.
They never did. There is not one article. Her first name was Mary Jane. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I mean, he was poetry in motion at shortstop. I would love to have seen him play, and especially with the gloves they had at the time and everything.
He often wore or used a glove to make sure that he could get a handle on the ball. Even better, he would put a small hole in the glove in order to make sure that he captured that ball. Now, one of the things, if you go back to how do you, you know, early days of Superior, 1909, 1910, 1911, he's playing with a low-level minor league team in Superior. They played at a place called, and I may be mispronouncing the park, but I believe it's Hislop Park. And he described that as, he did in later life, as not the best ballpark that he had seen. This is a person who played in, you know, brand new Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built, when it was brand new.
Yeah.
So a long time ago. So he played in some great parks. But he said because of the stones and so many different things on there, the ball would take such crazy hops that he believes it actually improved his fielding over the course of time.
Dave Bancroft is the subject of the book Beauty at Short. Tom Alicia is the author of the book, and I'm having a lot of fun talking with him today, and I hope you're having fun listening into this as we, here we are in our spring member drive, Jill Nadeau back with us, and she is here to help me tell you that We would like you to invest a few minutes of time to support your WPR listening.
Well, I'll be darn, Larry. We're down to $2,000 left to match. Wow.
Well, we've got to go over this hour
totally.
For sure.
Our listeners are so awesome, aren't they? And listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you can count on. Programs like The Larry Mueller Show. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And the challenge, of course, it's the donors' way to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on. And we're going to meet that challenge with your help. And I'm really excited because I think we're going to go over during this hour.
I think we are.
And by the way, it's your chance to double. There's still a couple $1,000
yeah.
there. You can still double the value of your pledge when you give, let's say, $100 or maybe $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and think about what you spend money on every day. Coffee, takeout, you know, it all adds up. And it's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
It sure does.
Sorry, Larry, I skipped a little bit there.
You're jumping all over. You're playing with my mind here, Jill.
That's my job, Larry. That's my job.
Well, it is. She does this to me all the time. And it's become kind of a routine, as a matter of fact, for her to do that. Well, Wisconsin Public Radio is probably part of your routine. It's your news source. It's your conversation starter. It's your place to learn, so spend some money on it today. Start with $1 a day. That's $30 a month, maybe, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figured there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your contribution could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference for your entire community.
I think we need to get that last guy who did the spot on WPR. What a nice voice.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Very much so. You know, maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, it's your continued support that's so important. You know, it's essential. It's essential for the news, interesting conversations, and cultural content at WPR. It's all made possible because of that today and into the future.
And if it's been a while since you've donated, this would be a perfect time to renew at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We'll be glad to have you back.
We certainly will. And remember, our Public Media Giving Days Challenge is still in effect. We don't have a lot left over, so you want to make sure you take advantage of that. So celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And ask for your WPR Glass Tumbler when you make a gift of $12 a month or more in support of our programs. It's a great looking glass, and it will remind you how much you value WPR every time you drink out of it.
That's
and
right.
I might have myself a little brandy Manhattan out of that, or maybe an old fashioned.
I was going to say, I bet you. I thought you were an old fashioned kind of guy.
I am old fashioned in a lot of ways, including what I sometimes drink. You could ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And just to let you know, the tumbler is actually, to me, it's a cocktail glass.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And because it's shorter than the pub glasses that we were given out maybe last year, I think it was. So just so you know what it looks like, you can go to our website and you can obviously then donate while you're there. And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched. And like Andrew in Fitchburg says, thanks for another great year of programming. Happy to have Wisconsin produce shows like Larry Mueller and Central Time.
Your gift right now, very important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Tom Alicia, who has written the book, Beauty at Short, Dave Bancroft, the Most Unlikely Hall of Famer, and His Wild Times in Baseball's First Century. Questions about baseball that time? Questions about Dave Bancroft? Or maybe an experience, a baseball experience you've had you want to share? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Tom, the players didn't make as much then as they make now, although I think Dave Bancroft wound up making a nice chunk of change.
Oh, he definitely did. Yeah, in fact, that was part of the reason he wanted to be a player manager. That was two salaries, he jumped over to that. He would barnstorm after the season. Everybody barnstormed after the season. From Babe Ruth on down, I mean, you needed to. That was a huge supplement to your salary.
Yeah, and they made, you could make almost as much barnstorming as you could your whole career.
Towns
season.
Would come out. I mean, granted, there were often, as farther north, you're talking, it was always after the World Series, so we're talking about October weather, and some of the times it was difficult to barnstorm, but yes, it was definitely lucrative.
Yeah, and they all took advantage of it,
yes.
For sure. You can join in. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, email to ideas@WPR.org. And Dave was called Beauty. I mean, his nickname was Beauty. And there are some, you point that there were some differences of opinion or different stories about how he became to be called Beauty.
Yeah. The main one being that, and this is the truth, that he definitely said if somebody made a nice play in the field, he would say Beauty. If he saw one of his pitchers throw a nice pitch, he would say Beauty at short. If he was batting, somebody threw a nice pitch to him, he might step back and say Beauty. So that caught on. That caught on right away when he went to New York. New York in particular. New York media was the one that spread his fame amazingly. That was in 1921. He was traded to the New York Giants. And that began, that was the first of two championship seasons and four World Series that he would be playing in. He was magnificent with that. Did he ever call himself Beauty? No. did other players call him Beauty? No. He was more often in the press called Banny. I honestly believe that when you look at Dave Bancroft's career, it's the Beauty nickname tended to stick later in his life after he was playing as kind of an amusement among contemporary writers. Contemporary sports writers now, baseball fans now. Hey, there was this guy named Beauty, and it did stick with him. And it is on his Hall of Fame plaque in Cooperstown.
It is. Luke in Crandon has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Luke.
Yeah, good morning. Interesting show. I read a book about Ty Cobb here a while back, and he played in the same era. And I just wondered if Mr. Bancroft had any interaction with Ty Cobb.
He did. Dave was injured. First of all, they played in separate leagues. So Ty Cobb was often in the American League. So they didn't play against each other as often. But when Dave was injured, he did join Ty Cobb at a game at Yankee Stadium. There's also a story that I was told from the family. Dave's family, for a very long time, had a baseball signed by Ty Cobb. And one of the members of the family, a younger, much younger, a child member of the family, wanted to play catch and took the baseball, just grabbed the baseball that was there. Well, it was the baseball that was signed by Ty Cobb.
Oh. How much would that bring today?
Yeah, it'd be pretty good. You know, even Dave's signatures are... There are certain baseballs that he signed, you know, on the 50th anniversary of baseball in 1926. There's one on eBay now for $12,000. You know, it's astonishing. The Hall of Fame took him to another level in terms of everything connected with him. And it often does for every player who makes Cooperstown.
Luke, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. You know, I wanted to ask you a bit about racism, because, well, there are a couple of reasons, but Kennesaw Mountain Landis was the commissioner of baseball from 1920 to 1944, and he never allowed black players.
Yeah, and you know, when you do a deep dive on an old-time player from that era that I did, looking through three different websites covering as many hundreds of newspapers across the country just with a keyword, that, yeah, I was afraid. I was afraid of seeing, but I thought I'm going to use whatever I find. I was afraid that I would find a racist comment about Dave. I was afraid, or by him. It was horrific. Dave was the one who got the play. He played in Cuba twice. He also had managers who wanted black players, John McGraw in particular, and they were knocked down by other owners that, no, that's not going to happen. And Kennesaw Landis, the commissioner of baseball during that time, was 100% vehemently opposed to it. So you have some extraordinary, extraordinary players that Dave never did get to play against. Even in barnstorming, Landis did not want that to happen during barnstorming, too.
Yeah, and there were some Cubans got to play.
Some did, and it had to be generally lighter skinned. That literally made the difference. It's one of the horrifying things, and how deep, how much it was ingrained in baseball. And part of history, too. You know, Dave did a spring training with a minor league team in Montgomery, Alabama in 1933. You know, that wasn't the best place to be for, you know, anybody in 1933 in terms of civil rights. You know, 22 years before Rosa Parks in Montgomery, so... those were difficult years, and you know what? He knew it. He knew it during that time. And so did a good handful of other players, that there were tremendous players in the Negro Leagues. Oscar Charleston. You can go on and on. They're now in the Hall of Fame. Dave's induction class in 1971 in Cooperstown included Satchel Paige, who gave a wonderful speech at that induction. Yeah. So Dave was well aware of that.
There was another issue that came up, which kind of surprised me. It had to do with the Spanish flu.
Yes.
And the unfortunate part that baseball may have played in the spreading of it.
In particular in Philadelphia. And it was meant I mean, they were trying to do the right thing in Philadelphia. And at that time, what they were trying to do was have a parade to support soldiers who were in the First World War. What ended up to happen, though, because they had such an enormous parade, was that it spread a Spanish flu at that time, which killed many of the many citizens in Philadelphia and elsewhere, but in particular Philadelphia. They even had a contest in the paper the following season where each Philadelphia Philly wore a mask, and it was guess what player this is. Very similar.
Yeah.
Almost the identical masks of what we had on for a couple of years ago.
Bill in Ladysmith, let's go to you. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Larry and guest. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I went to the Dobbins Vocational School, which was located catty corner to Connie Mack Stadium. Now, when we had exercises, playing basketball, whatever, we did it up on the roof of the school, and we could look over down inside Connie Mack Stadium and watch the players practice. How cool was that?
That's great.
Bill, that's a great story, and I can still hear a little of that Philly voice in you, too. Comment, Tom?
Connie Mack was a huge fan of Dave Bancroft's. And in fact, to explain how Connie Mack was a manager, he wore a suit always. And Connie Mack was a manager for, I believe, 50-plus years.
Yeah.
He went in 1950, 1951, when he named his all-star team from what he had seen over 50 years. He included Dave Bancroft in that, which was very, again, to show the caliber of player he was, even though years later he becomes, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And does he belong in Cooperstown?
Tom Alicia, our guest today, his book, Beauty at Short, really fun talking with him about it, and we will continue to talk with him about it after we hear from Jill Nadeau, who's been patiently waiting to come and talk here. It's our drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like today's topic as we take a little look at history and baseball with Tom Alicia and his book. Your support makes that happen because listener support's our largest source of funding. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I've got to tell you, Larry, we only have $1,200 left. So if people want to get their gift matched, you better call in.
Better do it right now.
Yeah. So make your gift now during Public Media Giving Days, and your support will go twice as far for WPR's essential service. And all gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of current members.
And the challenge is their way of inspiring your support of the programs you love, and your entire community helps out, gets helped as well. Let's meet that challenge. Your gift, any amount right now as we get to the top of the hour, makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've been hearing some really cool information about a person you probably didn't know of that has Wisconsin ties, and some people that we all kind of heard of before. So we got the lowdown on them. And you don't get that information from most places, but you get it here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And, you know, it really enriches your life. And WPR is listener supported. So that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes and give your gift.
And this member drive, you can toast. Make a toast to WPR, let's put it that way, with the new tumbler,
which
is not a tumbler.
No, it's a cocktail glass.
It's a cocktail glass. Kind of, it's shorter. And,
yes,
you know,
it is.
It's what
shorter,
you
round.
Put an old-fashioned in.
Exactly. But you don't have to put alcohol in it.
You can
put, you know, orange juice would be good in that in the morning.
I like orange juice with 7-Up. You ever do that?
No, I like orange juice with amaretto.
Well, amaretto, 7-Up, whatever you want to choose. You'll have that tumbler with a contribution of $12 a month or more. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I don't know what I would do without Wisconsin Public Radio.
I love Wisconsin Public Radio.
I just love public radio.
It's the companion of my life.
WPR, for me, is a wonderful, wonderful resource.
I depend on it so much. It's just part of my life.
I just listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Why would you go anywhere else?
Why, indeed, would you go anywhere else? I'll tell you what, you can give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
And remember, we've got that Public Media Giving Days Challenge, and we only have about a little bit more than $1,200 left to match your gift. So make sure you call in ASAP.
Yeah, because you're going to get your gift doubled.
That's
As
right.
a matter of fact, up to, well, you could donate $1,200 and you could come into $2,400. But maybe that's not the right amount for you. Whatever the amount that's right for you, maybe it's $10 a month or maybe it is $100 a month.
Yep.
That would cover it.
Yep.
Whatever the amount, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. We'll be back to talk with Tom Alicia about his book, Beauty at Short, and Dave Bancroft. Stay with us. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we will be back. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau for the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the book Beauty at Short. It follows the career of Hall of Famer Dave Bancroft, who lived in Superior, Wisconsin for 60 years, I believe. Author Tom Alicia can make sure I said that right. He's a former longtime arts and entertainment writer, but he wrote the book Beauty at Short, the subtitle Dave Bancroft, the Most Unlikely Hall of Famer and His Wild Times in Baseball's First Century. Questions for Dave? I hope you'll join in, or maybe you got a story to tell. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And he did spend all that time there.
Yes, he did. He was there for 60 years, 1909. That was where they spent their off seasons. And the significance of where he lived, the first time I saw it, which was a couple years ago, the house was near being condemned. It was a small house, a modest house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very different from the neighborhood, which was just fine. It's along Tower Avenue, which is the main street in Superior. But the building was about to be just knocked down. The city had had enough of it. Graffiti was throughout the house. What had happened was somebody bought it and was just going to remodel it, rent it out, or make it an Airbnb. The book came along. The person who bought it was remodeling it, had no idea that 50 years prior, an 80-year-old man took a phone call in that house and learned that he was in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And as a result, they then changed it. It's now the Beauty at Short Airbnb on Tower Avenue in Superior. And you could stay there, and in the basement area is a number of photos of Dave from throughout his career. It's one of those great thrills that that's been part of this book. The same
it's
thing.
It's going to make you feel great about it.
Oh, it does. You know what? There's a permanent marker for him now in his hometown of Sioux City, Iowa, where there's a minor league baseball team. plaque there. Superior is going to put up something in their Little League, one of their biggest, in their biggest Little League complexes, that will, he'll be part of their sort of Hall of Fame, their Hall of notoriety along their concession stand. And I just love that. And most of the people in these towns have a very, very vague notion that, yeah, maybe there was somebody from this town who was in the Hall of Fame. But we came in, you know, with an awful lot of memorabilia and lots of stories. And that's what came along. In fact, in Superior, when he came back in the 1950s, mm-hmm. he was working in the shipyards.
Yeah.
And they, his coworkers, knew he was a baseball player. They didn't know the caliber of baseball player he was until he grabbed a stone one day and flung it. And they were just astounded at the speed and how far this guy threw it. Yeah, and he's in his late 50s at that time.
You know, and it's almost hard to imagine that, you know, in this day and age of social media, television, radio, I mean, I think the first baseball game you point out, he played the first baseball game to be aired on radio. I think he was in that game, was he not?
Yeah, there's very early in his career.
Very early in his career, and at that time, they would, I think they were broadcasting it, some ticker tape or something would come. Talk about that for
a second. Oh, you have a World Series game would have people standing, and this included where he grew up in Sioux City, Iowa. The best story is his mom following the World Series in Sioux City, Iowa, by someone outside the newspaper there reading what is happening, the ticker tape that they're getting as they come across. And batter by batter, pitch by pitch, they would then have a little scoreboard up there, and they'd keep that going throughout the game. That's how you would follow it. When he returned in 1921, and this is the one picture, I keep two pictures of Dave Bancroft, and I have hundreds. Okay, so I have to try to be careful with it because I can get two. I do in an office have a lot of pictures of him. But in terms of in my living room, in the household that my wife does not mind having Dave Bancroft stuff up, there are two of them. One is when Babe Ruth visited Duluth. As a vaudeville act, all it was Babe Ruth telling baseball stories. But it's Babe Ruth, classic Babe Ruth. He's got on an absolutely gigantic fur coat. Gigantic. So it was a Ruthian fur coat. Perfect for that. And the other one, the other photo that I love so much, it's his arrival in 1921, in November, early November of 1921, after they had won the World Series against the New York Yankees. He is now a major star in the major leagues. He had a very successful World Series. He made his return to Superior. They knew he was coming a week in advance, and there were about 8,000 people waiting there. Now, sometimes when you read some of these old articles, you've got to be skeptical of, well, were there really 8,000 people? Did they really shut down the schools? Did they really, were the factories really blowing whistles? And then I found the photo of that where the car that was from the train station to the hotel where he was at, even though he lived just down the block, he was going to go to the hotel first. And there's barely any room for this car to get through. And that's the photo. There are two photos then that I keep, that one and the one where he's with Babe Ruth.
Well, it's and it was cool that they would come back, as you said, at the end of every season, win the World Series or not.
He was also, he helped another player who was there. You know, you think of Superior, and this was my immediate reaction was, well, Superior football player, yeah, Ernie Nevers.
Yeah.
Ernie Nevers, sensational football, one of the greatest football players. Hockey players, curling Olympians, baseball players, it's not conducive in terms of the weather to that. At the same time, he did help one other Major League Baseball player who came along, and that's Mo Arnovich. Mo Arnovich was one of the first prominent Jewish players in the late 1930s. And Dave, from the time that Mo was in high school in Superior, was very supportive of him. You know, suggested he go to outfield, worked with him in terms of his batting, talked a lot about the minor leagues, made sure he got a spot. And he eventually made the All-Star team and probably would have had a much better career again. But for a lot of players, World War II put an end to their careers.
Yeah. And Dave was there through World War I and World War II.
Yes. World War II, he was working back in Superior by then, and then began coaching again.
John McGraw was great. He became great friends with John McGraw, who was the manager of the New York Giants.
He loved them, and to try to put it in a contemporary perspective, somewhat of a contemporary perspective, is if he was a tyrant. He was not somebody who was every player's favorite guy. It was his way or goodbye.
The highway.
Very similar to, you know, if there's a comparison, probably Bobby Knight is the closest comparison. He was that kind of manager. But he was successful, so he had it. At the same time, Dave Bancroft was that kind of manager's perfect player. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to follow what you say, and it's going to work. You know? And it did. And he found out Dave Bancroft was captain during the 3-4 years with John McGraw. And one time there was an argument during a spring training game, and McGraw looks at him and he said, "Why aren't you out there?" And Bancroft just looked at McGraw puzzled. And McGraw said, "Well, you're the captain of this team." And that's how he learned he was the captain of the New York Giants.
Yeah. And McGraw knew that he wanted to manage. Yeah. And when it came time for him to move Dave Bancroft to another team, he did him a big favor.
Yeah, that was. And that was at the time, you know, when he looks back, it was probably a bad move for Dave. He admitted that he didn't realize how much it was difficulty of managing and playing. And it was the Boston Braves. The Boston Braves, the year he inherited the team, had lost 100 games prior to that. So it was very difficult to try to do that. At the same time, he did want to do it, and the pay was astonishing, you know, for that time. And especially
$7,000-$8,000, something like that.
Oh, even double that.
Double that. Oh, that's right.
You're talking more. Yeah,
it's so that's a like $1 million in today's money.
Yes, you're looking at. He was very successful financially, and he did hang on to most of it. Although he was an absolutely awful businessman. The only successful business was the and people in Superior. Wow, if you go far back, there's the Giessen Shoe Store in Duluth and Superior, and that was his in-laws. That was pretty much the only, you know,
investment he had
that was very good. There was a dog track in Florida. There was lots of property in Florida. There was even a distillery in Peoria, Illinois. None of them went well.
Well, I think we ought to mention why he had to be 80 years old before he wound up in the Hall of Fame. A guy with the kind of record that he had, the batting average that he carried for all those years, and his ability and skill. He was probably the best shortstop, certainly the best shortstop in his era.
But forgotten.
Yeah.
And fortunately, there are two ways to get into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, one is to buy a ticket. And Dave did that in 1965 at age 75. He just walked, you know, paid his ticket and went in. Was not expecting to be a Hall of Famer. There was another way they looked called the Veterans Committee. And in 1971, it was like the perfect storm of 12, a committee of 12 members, former players that he played with, sports writers that were very close friends with him. And that led to a Sunday, January 31st, 1971. He's eating chicken dinner with his wife. The phone rings. He picks it up. It's a Milwaukee sports writer saying, "You are in the Hall of Fame." And he said, "That's the greatest thing I've ever heard."
On that note, there's so much that we didn't talk about yet. And there's so much more in the book that we haven't covered. It was such a fun book to read. And he even managed a women's baseball team.
Which three and a half years with them.
And not Tom Hanks-like, but anyway.
No, the opposite of that.
It's been a real pleasure, Tom, to talk with you today. And I really loved your book, and I'm glad it has done well.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's really a privilege.
Tom Alicia and the book Beauty at Short, Dave Bancroft, the Most Unlikely Hall of Famer and His Wild Times in Baseball's First Century. And you know, Jill Nadeau's back with us. And Jill, I'm hearing something in the background.
Oh, look at that, Larry. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, look at those lovely fireworks right through the studio.
Woohoo!
Oh my gosh, we are excited to announce. My gosh, the oh, and they abruptly ended.
Oh, bummer. Well, they want to hear us.
Light a fuse and start it back up. Trina LaSousa is our engineer, by the way.
And fireworks guru there.
Clara Neipert is our producer, by the way, so we'll get that out of the way. But, excuse me, we are excited to announce the Public Media Giving Day's $60,000 match was met thanks to an outpouring of support from new and returning members. Great news, because listener support, your support, is the largest source of our funding for the programs you rely on. But you know what? We got to keep the momentum going, don't we?
We do. We do. Absolutely. So I think we have a goal of 20 gifts for this next hour, which will be half hour this, half hour a chapter a day. So make sure that you want to, let's see, where you've given. Great. Thank you very much. I don't think we've said that enough. You know, you listen to the Larry Mueller Show, not just for an hour, but an hour and a half. And we've got so many great gifts or guests, Larry. You know, we've got Jill Tyne Nissenbaum and her sister Lori Tyne Brody. And, you know, they're here all the time to help you with your aches and pains. And we've got Scott Craven, who's going to be coming in tomorrow. And he loves to talk about wildlife sightings and what you can do to keep critters out of your garden and all that kind of stuff. And those, and the great weather guys and consumer protection. And I could just go on and on.
And they cover topics, I guess, that are part of your everyday life. They give you advice. They give ideas. We get a chance to talk history once in a while on the show. We always try to have a Wisconsin focus, though. We want to be focused on you and our state. And because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, I hope you'll support the program with your dollars. Easy to give. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, for this member drive, we have a new WPR glass. It's a tumbler, I guess, or a cocktail glass. It's a shorter one. And whether it's for your morning orange juice or an evening cocktail, this elegant glass will be your new go-to. So make room in your drinkware cabinet and ask for your WPR glass tumbler with your gift of $12 or more today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Right after the show, I'm going to run over and put in another $150, so I'm sure to get the glass tumbler.
Larry, you're not going to have a salary pretty soon.
Well, I like to. I always talk myself into this practically every drive. I'm running to give more money. That's all right, because I have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite. And I think those who are listening today have that same strong sense. And chances are that, like me, Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important part in your life, in your sense of identity. Here we are. We serve the entire state.
Mm-hmm, we do. And we serve some of the surrounding states, too. I don't know how many people call and write that are not necessarily in Wisconsin, but they really appreciate what we do here. So we'd love to hear from them, too. And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you know, you get news, you get voices, music, and the sounds from all around the state and the Midwest. So over time, all of these broadcasts, they add up to a strong sense of connection to the state that we call home.
Yeah, and it's a home we all share, and it's funded. Wisconsin Public Radio is funded in large part by listeners. So I hope you'll give now. Go to WPR.org. That's one way to do it. Or get on the phone and call 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. And, you know, whether you found us by scanning the dial or, I don't know if you could call it a dial anymore, Larry, or a friend recommended, you know, maybe just for news or for the weekend programs, great music. Well, you know what? You're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, help pay for your WPR listening. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $100, maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. Become our next donor at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our drive makes the shows you rely on possible. And your gift, 10, 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to Wisconsin and the world. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And think about it. It's really easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, you know, like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack or what else?
What else? Well, what about this? Why not consider the news, the information, and the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR? Maybe it's a buck a day, 30 bucks a month is the right amount for you. You can sign up right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And the little things we spend money on, you know, they really add up after a while. Maybe you buy a morning coffee or you pick up a candy bar or you get to through the afternoon with, some peanuts from the vending machine. You easily spend $20 a month on small expenses, but they're an important part of your day.
And so is listening to WPR. Like the money you spend on a well-deserved treat, make your gift of $20 a month now for the programs that enrich your daily life. Here we are coming up to the bottom of the hour, at least for me. I have to leave, and I think Jill's going to hang around here. But we love doing this show, and we love hearing from you. We've got a great community here, and I hope you'll support us with your gift. Easy to do. Go to WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you so much if you've given. If you haven't given, why not do it right now? I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau.